Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and this week we speak with Marcus Prater, the newly named Executive Director of the Association of Gaming Equipment Manufacturers, or AGEM. Prater has a long history in the gaming industry, most recently serving as Senior Vice President of Marketing for Bally Technologies. He takes over AGEM at a crucial time in the group's history as gaming expands throughout the world. AGEM is mainly a political organization trying to influence the legalization of gaming in new jurisdictions and the transformation of regulations that makes it easier for its members to sell their products and services. He met with me in March in Las Vegas. Marcus Prater, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. It's great to have you here, and congratulations on your new position. AGEM is such an important organization that really deserves some greater visibility, and we really believe you can accomplish that. Let's start with a little background on AGEM, where it's been and where we are right now.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me, Roger. AGEM has been around, we're now about 8-9 years. AGEM was informally born in 99 when a group of slot companies got together to address some issues that had come up at the legislative level in Nevada, and then AGEM itself was formally organized in 2000. So the Association of Gaming Equipment Manufacturers essentially started with the big slot companies, IGT, Bally, WMS, Aristocrat, etc., and over time it has grown to about 34 members. About half of those are what we call voting members, which drop into the next tier of suppliers, the AC Coin and Slots, the Shuffle Masters, the Progressive Gamings, Atronic, mm-hmm. Konami, etc. I don't want to leave anyone out, but the idea is that those influential suppliers make up the voting membership, and then there's an associate membership level of other suppliers that, frankly, support the bigger companies. Mm-hmm. The bill validator companies are in there, the ticketing companies, the printers companies, the touchscreen companies, mm-hmm. etc. And so the group has a very formidable membership, for sure. In total, it is the who's who of North American suppliers, and clearly these companies also do a lot of business overseas.
Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned the four biggies, and I think you can even include Atronic now that they've joined forces with the Gauselmann Group and GTEC and Konami as well. Konami's coming on with some really interesting products and are getting a good market share in this company. So that's really six big companies, and they all have very similar needs and desires. Do they dominate the agenda of AGEM?
I would say no. I mean, it's I was Bally's representative on the board for the last 8 years. I left Bally in December, and so I've seen it all. I've been there from the very beginning, and it's I don't think we've ever gotten accused as an organization of having one company or one sector bully anyone else. Mm-hmm. I do think that what's good for the big six is good for the medium 12 and
right.
the smaller
right.
20. And so when things go right for a Bally and an IGT, then the bill validator companies are very happy, mm-hmm. the printer companies, etc. We absolutely, and part of my charter is I want to encourage as much involvement of the smaller to medium companies. Any issue that they want to bring to the table is absolutely fair game, and mm-hmm. I've made that clear when we've put together these agendas for the monthly meetings, that we want some cooperation and involvement from smaller companies that perhaps haven't participated in the past.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, there's another organization called the Gaming Standards Association that most of your members are also members of, and they focus on, obviously, the technical issues that they run into when manufacturing slot machines, systems, and things of that nature. What's the difference between, though, your mission and GSA's mission?
Yeah, well, GSA has a very narrow focus, technical standards. They've never strayed from that mission. Mm-hmm. And to their credit, by the way, because they have been, I know they've been outside forces have tried to pull them into mm-hmm. other discussions and debates, and they just simply refuse to do that. AGM is focused more on, the bullet point list of the priorities of AGM include getting involved in legislative and regulatory issues that affect the suppliers. Getting in the middle of problem gaming initiatives, supporting those initiatives. We have become more involved with educational support. We fund the College of Southern Nevada Slot Technicians Program, which again benefits the members because once the students go through that program, then they need a job, and we as slot companies are more than happy to hire them. So we're involved in educational support, trade shows and conferences and the activities around those. We definitely want a say in how those are conducted and how they benefit our customers, mm-hmm. which ultimately are the casino operators and the slot buyers. And so those are kind of the four top of mind elements of which you didn't hear me say anything about technical standards, mm-hmm. and there are probably a few over time, a few issues that could affect both groups, GSA and AGM, in terms of the way a regulator implements a regulation, the way it's written, that there could be some crossover, and I've been in touch with Peter Durod and the folks at GSA about working closer together, and who knows, but the missions are definitely different.
Mm-hmm. There's like any trade association, I guess there's a lot of competition amongst your members. Certainly, some of it's even legal competition. So I see this week Bally won one of their patent suits, and there's several of them out there still. Is there a lot of friction at a meeting of GSA, of AGM?
It's interesting because there's not. I can't. There's been very few issues in the last 8 years that have been what I would even call sort of contentious. Mm-hmm. It's funny because Bally's attorney Mark Lerner is AGM's general counsel. He succeeded Neil Friedman, who's the assistant general counsel at IGT. And I mean, there's actually a lot of hilarious ribbing that mm-hmm. goes on at these meetings that touch on some of the legal issues. Mm-hmm. It's at the meetings, you can tell everyone puts down their swords and everyone's definitely getting along and working toward a common good. And when you leave the room and you go back to your regular job, then you go back to beating each other up. And mm-hmm. as I was on the marketing committee of AGM, which included Ed Rogich at IGT and Brooke Dunn at Shufflemaster. And then we've gotten the other companies involved, and so we would all get along, and then we'd go back and try to outdo each other as individual companies. And so it works. It's a credit to the members and the individuals. I do think that some trade groups could fall into that trap mm-hmm. where they do nothing but have political infighting, mm-hmm. and I think there's been a history of that. Yep. In other parts of the world, so
well, certainly on the operator side in the casino industry,
yes,
that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So,
so basically, do you kind of agree on the subjects that you're going to be looking at, and kind of stay away from things that might be contentious?
Well, I think we stay somewhat true to our mission. My thing is that any issue that affects the suppliers is fair game, but then you need to boil it down to something more specific. I think that I want to be more proactive in how I, as the new executive director, put together the agenda and come to the meetings prepared to make recommendations based on what's on the agenda. Other times, it's not necessarily my place to try to influence the decisions. It's really, you know, a discussion point that the big companies and the voting members need to have. And so, I don't think there's anything. I don't recall any time where somebody said this topic is too hot to be discussed. I think that it's pretty clear when something comes up that it belongs on the agenda or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you were with Bally, you were very competitive. You ran some great marketing campaigns, and I think you were at least partially responsible for the rebound of Bally in the past several years. You've done a great job there, but now you've got to be like Switzerland. You have to be completely neutral with all the companies. What kind of transition does that mean?
Well, it's interesting. I definitely bled Bally red for 9 years and didn't necessarily care for Big Blue and Reno
right.
as a competitor per se. I didn't have anything against the folks I dealt with, but so bottom line is I took a couple months off and this new position came up and I've been able to transition pretty smoothly. Mm-hmm. I had lunch as the AGM executive director with Neil Friedman and Chuck Brook of IGT, just to sort of, I'd never met Chuck, and, mm-hmm. and just to sort of get their perspective on some of the issues that are kind of percolating around the country, and it was fascinating. I mean, I thought this is a conversation I certainly never would have had.
That's right.
I would never have had mm-hmm. Chuck Brook telling me what was going on from IGT's perspective if I was still at Bally, and so it's great. I mean, I want to get input from all the different companies. I think that they trust me. I can tell you that when I met with the board about the position, not once did it come up about me being too loyal to Bally or whatever the case may be. And so it's a great position. It's I get to put a lot of historical knowledge to work just by being involved in the industry. Mm-hmm. So
okay. You've had a couple of international members, but I know that's going to be one of your drives. Why has there not been a bigger international presence for AGM, and what are you going to do to build that?
Well, I mean, I think it's a slow building process no matter what. I mean, we were born out of a Nevada legislative issue. It has been clear that the membership wants to expand to address issues well beyond Nevada and tackle certainly North American issues. We've been accused by our own membership of being too Nevada-centric, mm-hmm. and so I think it's clear that we want to start by, I mean, whether it's a taxation issue in Illinois or expansion issue in Kentucky, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be, we want to jump on these rather than stay focused on Nevada. And I think we're doing a better job. So then from there, the next step would be to start looking international. I'm not sure we're ready yet. Mm-hmm. I have reached out to some companies that have headquarters that are based in foreign countries. All of our members do business globally, so it'd be foolish not to look globally.
Right.
But then the next step really is to recruit these companies that have their headquarters outside of the country, outside of North America, and start getting their feedback and
sure.
their input and having them bring issues to the table. And you know, part of my immediate mission is to make sure that people understand in the industry, you know, what AGM stands for. It's not the American
mm-hmm,
gaming
right.
equipment manufacturers. It's the association of, and if I was to, and I've already had conversations with these companies from Europe and elsewhere where they say, you know, what can our membership, how can it benefit us?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm slowly knocking down some walls, and over time, I absolutely want this organization to be much more global.
Mm-hmm. Well, for example, there's an issue that's come up, I guess, within the, well, it's been coming up for the last few years, but it's really come to a head just in the last month or so in the state of Victoria in Australia, where they're trying to cut back on what they call pokies down there in some of the smaller clubs and things of that nature. Would that be something that you may get involved in if you know, once you get your feet on the ground and understand the issues?
Yeah. Again, over time, and I think that as we look at global opportunities or issues that come up, I think we need to look at the ones that have the broadest impact to the membership. Mm-hmm. You know, that the Australia example, you know, again, over time, that may be a good one. But I think that type of thing affects a small segment of our membership. We would want to look at, you know, like when the whole British expansion was such a hot topic.
Sure.
And of course, it ultimately was a big fizzle out sort of episode. But the idea is, you could look at when they were talking about it, you could look at it and go, okay, this is the type of thing, if it really takes off, could benefit our entire membership. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is to identify examples of that and go in and try to get AGM involved to push an issue to the finish line, so it benefits the membership in total.
Okay.
Looking for the most informative weekly publication in the gaming industry? Subscribe to Global Gaming Business Weekly, the only electronic news magazine that brings the news of the gaming industry to your desktop every Monday morning. Global Gaming Business Weekly is a complete publication with information on the gaming industry in the U.S., Europe, Asia, and beyond. Read about the latest moves in Indian gaming, the updated research about problem gaming, the breaking news that will impact everyone in the gaming industry, all in one publication. Global Gaming Business Weekly is read by all the top executives in the gaming industry before they start their work week. Shouldn't you? To subscribe, go to the Global Gaming Business website, www.ggbmagazine.com, click on the Global Gaming Business Weekly icon. Don't be the last to know. Read Global Gaming Business Weekly every Monday morning.
So what are some of the big issues that you're going to be looking at this year in AGM?
Well, again, I'm trying to do a couple things in the short term, which is get the word out about not just myself taking over this position, but using it as an opportunity to reinforce what AGM is, who our members are, what it stands for, and I mean, I've already been frustrated at when I call people and the secretary say, "May I ask who's calling? This is Marcus Prater with AGM." I'm sorry, AGM?
What,
AGM? I don't want that to happen anymore, especially if it's somebody associated with the gaming industry. So from a PR and marketing standpoint, I'm really want to get a blitz out there that just to reinforce and bring some life to that. So that's a short term thing. The other short term is to really get involvement from other member companies. It's interesting. We've always held our meetings at 2 p.m. Pacific time on the second Tuesday of every month, which is 5 o'clock on the East Coast. So AC Coin, GTEC, etc., never really chose to participate, and I don't really blame them. So we've moved the meetings back to noon, and all of a sudden now, I mean, I've had more contact with the AC Coin and slot folks in the last week than I had in the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And so little victories like that, expanding the membership. Really working with the trade shows and the conferences. I don't want AGM to necessarily be known as the party company, but the reality is when we go to a trade show, whether it's NIGA, Biloxi, G2E, Vegas, all of our member companies essentially seem to try to outdo each other with parties, and our customers are splintered, and we can't. It's just a bad. You spend too much money, so the idea is we're now moving forward with these consolidated social events, and we've got NIGA locked up, Canada, Biloxi, and G2E Las Vegas, where AGM will take on the title sponsorship of these events, and the member companies will, you know, tag along and get all the benefits, and so. those are some immediate things that we're working on. And you know, there's pockets of regional legislative and political things that are going on that we're involved in. Sometimes people don't know we're involved and we don't publicize it. Other times we need to do a better job of tooting our own horn. So I'm pretty darn busy for this being a quote part-time job.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Tell us, you mentioned G2E, and that's obviously the biggest trade show in the industry every November. AGM has always played a big role there. Are you going to increase the role that AGM is playing?
Well, I'd like to think so. I mean, the relationship we have with Reed Exposition and the American Gaming Association, I think it's never been stronger. I have relationships there that I think will help. I mean, bottom line is AGM wants to be involved in the discussions and planning of the show, the conferences, the topics of those sessions, and the reality is our core members are the anchor, if you will, of the show. So it's a good idea for everyone to communicate among each other. So, you know, the other thing is AGM is funded mostly by a small piece of the action it gets from the profits of G2E, and so AGM itself clearly has a motivation to, you know, put on the best show possible. Mm-hmm. And I think that just by having those discussions with Reed and the AGA, that's ultimately what's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, what everybody wants to know is how the party's going to go this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can tell you that you got a bit of a scoop here. We're going to announce in the next few weeks that we are, as AGM, going to hold one gigantic industry party of the century, if you will, what Bally Aristocrat and WMS started last year with a joint event. Has added IGT and everyone else, and the particulars in terms of venue and entertainment and all that are still to come. But suffice to say that AGM will have a gigantic industry party on the Tuesday night, November 18th, and therefore the member companies, again the biggies involved, are essentially doing away with their annual parties because it just became an unpleasant experience, so to speak, for our customers who were trying to race around town to pop in and say hi to the 2,000 or 3,000 of their friends,
right,
and then
exactly.
Move on to the next one. So, bottom line is, I think it's a great model. I'm excited. We're going to have a good time with this one.
No question about it. Education has always been a big focus of AGM, and certainly at G2E, you have your own track talking about some of the issues that are important to your members. You've gone beyond that into here in Nevada with the College of Southern Nevada and things like that. Explain what the commitment is to education.
Well, certainly for educating the industry is kind of a no-brainer. I mean, we have members who can bring a lot to the table. We want the relationship with our customers, the slot buyers, the casino operators, the systems folks, the table games. I mean, we want AGM to be a cooperative give and take with them. I mean, it's no secret that sometimes the relationship between the slot companies and the operators can get contentious over pricing and participation, and AGM is not meant to solve those issues on a company-by-company basis, but clearly we want to work together and listen to our customers, and then it shows, you know, the panelists and the topics and all that stuff. I mean, it's not ever meant to be, from AGM's perspective, a sales job. It's meant to be a good reason why these folks come to these shows, is to learn more about what's happening across the board. So clearly that's a big part of what we want to continue doing at G2E and other shows. And then, you know, we want to spend the money we have wisely, and we chose to, in the case of the College of Southern Nevada, we're giving them $300,000 over a 3-year period to essentially fund a department that trains slot technicians And it's, I mean, those folks are, it's a very specialized product that they're working on. You can get technicians from other industries, but they can't just walk into a casino and fix a machine. Yeah. So anyway, there's a benefit there. We're talking about taking that to Atlantic City, and frankly, we're open to whatever comes our way in terms of educational, outreach, if you will.
Okay. Another part of the AGM mission statement is to encourage your members to be good corporate citizens, which of course means involvement in charities and things of that nature. How does that work?
Sort of the same way. We're very proactive. Our member companies bring, issues to the table. We not only support pure charitable events and of course all the problem gaming initiatives that are out there, but we get hit up to support worthwhile events, that benefit the industry all the time, and it can take the form of fun events like golf tournaments, but at the end of the day we're raising money for some good cause, and clearly we that's definitely one of AGEM's missions. We're not necessarily just saying we're supporting every single thing that comes our way, but we're definitely open. And if one of our members is very passionate about a cause, then we get behind it as an organization.
Right. Well, you've been big supporters of the National Center for Responsible Gaming, too, the AGA, based organization that does research or funds research into problem gambling. Is that some? Do you encourage research into specific gaming machine problems and things of that nature?
Well. We're definitely open to those discussions. We haven't been hit up a whole lot, but we want to be on the front edge of those discussions. And there's issues circulating up in Canada that affect back to the way a slot machine plays and how technology can come into the equation when it comes to problem gambling. And so, clearly those are discussions we want to be part of. We definitely support the National Center. We support the regional centers. I mean, that is a big part of our mission, is to make sure that we give back in those areas.
Right. And of course, you want to be proactive, as the AGA is, in terms of combating this problem, because you don't want to be the head in the sand thing like the tobacco industry was.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we learn from that, and we take the AGA's lead. The case could be made that not enough was done in the past, and I think that over the last few years, the industry has really stepped up, and there's more to do. But I think the shift in attitude has already taken place, for sure.
No question.
Yeah.
I just have one last question. You've been observing this from the outside but on the board for so many years. Now that you're leading this effort, where would you like to see AGM go for the next 5 years?
Well, I mean, I think the potential is tremendous. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited by this opportunity, partly because as I sat in the meetings and would get frustrated at the pace that the organization was moving, I now have a chance. I mean, it's kind of put up or shut up time for me. I can't very well complain, and then they sort of hand me the keys, and if I can't take this organization to the next level, then shame on me. And the idea is that not only from a name recognition standpoint, but I mean, AGM has the potential with the membership as the foundation. It's not me. It's not the AGM name. I mean, this is the strength of the members and the talent and the individuals. I mean, I have to encourage them to participate. And once they participate, the idea is to make the organization just move faster, be more influential, be more in the discussions of big issues, get more accomplished. Get it done quicker, and basically be the you know, the AGA Junior. The AGA is so well respected, and it's because of the leadership and the money they have and the membership base they have, and essentially I want AGM to be in that same category in those same discussions, and we got a good group now, but we have a ways to go to get where I want us to be.
Okay. Well, Marcus, congratulations again on your new appointment as the executive director of AGM, and I think you're going to do a great job and take this organization where it really needs to be.
Well, thank you, Roger, very much.
Thank you for choosing the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn about any of the issues discussed on this show, go to our website at ggbmagazine.com or subscribe to the industry's most comprehensive newsletter, Global Gaming Business Weekly. We'll see you next week for another edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast.